It's the middle of November, and it feels like it. Cold, cold day out there. It's like 42 degrees. We didn't have any freezing rain this morning, did we? Right around here?
Not around here, but in other parts of the state, I believe so.
Very north?
Yeah.
Western corner or whatever, mountains? Yeah, it's not comfortable out there. It was a bad day for my heat to go out. But that's what happened.
Is there ever a good day for your heat? Well, I guess in the middle of summer.
You wouldn't know it, but yeah, it's going to warm up. So, it'll be all right. But, that's not good. That was a little chilly last night. It's been a while since that's happened. It's what you got the animals for, right? Snuggle up with. That's
animals,
why we got them.
Your wife, 10,000 blankets.
Blankets, yeah. All of that, yeah.
But then the bad part is when it hits you in the middle of the night, you got to go to the restroom.
Yeah, I had a little space heater in the restroom, so in the bathroom. So that helped.
That helps.
Yeah, kept it from being, because those floors in the bathroom can be a little bit cold. Anyway, working on that. Appreciate you tuning in today in the huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Been kind of a scramble here, and because I've been working on that and the show today, so let me tell you what we have going on. I'll figure it out along with you as I look at it. Here, we're going to hear from some players for Clemson and South Carolina ahead of their games this weekend. We'll hear from Reggie Shaw, the head coach of the Burns Rebels. They are preparing to play Sumter tomorrow night in Sumter, the Gamecocks down in Sumter. And we'll give you an update on injuries and the like for Burns as they go into the second round of the 5A playoffs tomorrow night. I have some audio from Nick Saban and Mike Leach. That's always promising. Yeah, it's pretty good. So we'll play that for you coming up. Speaking of high school football, we'll preview the playoff games with Bob Costello with the Green Bull News coming up at 2 o'clock. Talking to Bob a day early because I'm not here tomorrow. I'll be traveling down to the game, so Richmond Weaver will be here tomorrow. But he'll make a guest appearance today at 2:45. We'll do our 10 college picks for this weekend.
Shout out to Richmond for correcting my mistake, by the way.
Yeah, listening to the same game twice. Shows you how close I looked at it. Yeah. I hadn't done my picks yet until just a few minutes ago. So
this will be the last day you and I are working together, too.
Forever?
Well, not forever. Oh. Don't get so happy about that, no, because I'm off next week.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, we'll do our picks at 2:45, and we'll congratulate Richmond on his 10-0 week.
No, we won't.
It's not that great because we both went 9-1.
It was a gimme week. Yeah. We took a chance on South Carolina.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we were just dumb enough to pick the Gamecocks on the road against Florida. But anyway, picks are a little harder this week. We'll do those at 2:45. At about 2:30, we're going to be joined by Shap Boyd. He will be the new head football coach for Erskine. You're saying, wait a minute, Erskine doesn't play football. Well, they're about to. Next year, 2019.
Now, see, that's why I didn't know the mascot, because they didn't play football. I'm like, why did I not know the mascot?
Nope. They did way back in the day. But he will be the Flying Fleet's first football coach since 1951. How about that? Being introduced as we speak, 1 o'clock news conference.
What was that 1951 team like?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know. I was. I only made it to half the games that year, so I can't really give you a good scouting report. Anyway, he's going to join us at 2:30, so we'll talk to Coach Boyd about his plans. That's got to be tough to start from scratch and build a football program. But we'll tell you more about him and talk to him coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. We will do three questions at 3 today. We'll have Diddy in here at 3:20. Got a little Zion Williamson. Duke played last night. And we'll hear from Zion, the Spartanburg phenom, now with the Duke Blue Devils. There was a story out today about how LSU, an assistant coach at LSU, offered him a position on the football team as a tight end. And apparently didn't even tell Ed Orgeron he was doing it.
I think Ed would have been okay with it, maybe.
Yeah,
I think Zion would make a killer tight end.
He would. That's what this assistant said. He could be the best tight end ever, even though he never played football. They didn't have football at Spartanburg Day School. So, it would have been a learning experience, but he was never interested in that. And Zion said he didn't get anywhere close to the size he is until 11th grade. So it wasn't like everybody was telling him he should be playing football. He just kind of filled out and grew up and became a giant overnight. And now he's the hottest thing in college basketball. He had another good night last night. The thing about Zion is he's shooting so well. Because dunks are high percentage shots.
I've heard that.
You can go 11 for 13 when you got, you know, eight dunks or whatever. But anyway, we'll hear from Zion coming up on the show, too. So all of that ahead here in the huddle today, 844-477-3776. HealthDare text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN. And we're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We'll start with the Clemson Tigers. They'll take on Duke. That is a 7 p.m. game on Saturday at Memorial Stadium. And it'll be on ESPN. It is a live ESPN primetime broadcast. Duke comes in at 7-3, 3-3 in the ACC. So you got a good 7-3 team coming in. And Clemson's favored by 28. That's where it stood last time I looked at it, 28 points, because Clemson has been rolling. They only won by 20 last week. So, you know, 28 might be optimistic, but I doubt it. So the Tigers, red hot, number two in the country. Staying there, solid number two in the college football playoff poll. And most people think they'll be very successful on senior day. Yeah, you've got seniors being recognized this week at Clemson. Among them, defensive end Cleland Farrell. Cleland Farrell has another year of eligibility. But most people think he will go ahead and go to the NFL, and he is walking with the seniors on senior day on Saturday, and he talked about the significance of that this week.
Senior day is it's a lot of emotions. You know, obviously, I think this is one of the biggest senior classes that we ever had. No, I think it is the biggest senior class we've had. And obviously, you know, I know this team is very, very close, and this is always going to be my favorite Sweeney meeting, because, you know, you had that meeting where, you know, we get to hear, like, the seniors' parents' phone calls. So basically, the moms or the dads, they call in and they leave kind of like a voicemail for their sons, and they kind of just say, like, hey, you know, happy to see, like, the way you progress over these 4 years and things like that. And it kind of brings up a lot of emotions. But at the end of the day, you kind of got to block that out. It's more so for the families. I feel like it's always been for the family, because it's a special moment for them. You know, your parents get to see you grow up over 4 years. You know, you're not a little boy anymore. You're now you're a grown man. So I'm always happy for the families for at this point in the year. So
you get to come down this whole game, of course, against South Carolina, but is it going to be kind of cool to be able to make that curtain call and just be all by yourself at the top of the
world? I guess so. I mean, I'm excited I get a chance to, you know, be honored as a senior. I still haven't made a decision yet on, you know, if I'm coming back or not, but, you know, I've just been honored that by my teammates and by Coach Sweeney, so it's going to be a great, you know, experience that with, you know, the Clemson family and my family. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to it and can't wait to go out and hopefully get our 11th win against Duke.
Clayton, at what point do you think you will announce or make your decision?
After the season, same thing as last year.
Yeah, no decision from Cleland Farrell until after the year, like they did last year. And he had the other guys on that defensive line with him last year. I expect that he'll go ahead and go, but you never know. He could make a decision to do something different. He has a year of eligibility remaining. Cleland Farrell has had a great career there with the Clemson Tigers. No question about that. He is 6'4", 265 pounds, playing out on the defensive end. Of course, joined by the likes of Austin Bryant, Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence on that defensive line for the Clemson Tigers. If you look back at what Clemson and Duke have done in more recent history, they haven't played in a while. Their last meeting was 2012, so it's been 6 years, and that was in Durham. And Clemson got out to a 28-10 lead in the first quarter, and went on to win 56-20 in that game and improved to 8-1 on the year. And on that day, Clemson gained, get this, 718 yards against Duke. At the time, that was the second most yardage in a single game in school history. 718 yards. Taj Boyd was the quarterback. He was 16 for 23, passing for 344 yards and 5 touchdown passes. Three of those touchdown passes went to DeAndre Hopkins, Nuke, now with the Houston Texans. He finished the day with 128 yards on just four catches. Four of the five Taj Boyd touchdown passes in that game came in the first quarter. He also hit Sammy Watkins with one, and then hit Martavis Bryant with one in the second quarter. Think about that. People forget. You talk about the receivers Clemson has now. Think about having Nuke Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, and Martavis Bryant on the same team. Good grief.
And Nuke Hopkins was the lesser
of them. Yeah, he was one nobody talked about back in the day. Not really as much, at least. That's crazy there. Taj Boy broke Woody Dantzler's school record for career touchdown responsibility in that game, and Hopkins did the same with receiving touchdown marks on a career and a season basis. And by the way, they racked up 334 rushing yards, but no single player exceeded 85 on the day. Rod McDowell had 83 yards on 13 carries. But they spread it around to guys like DJ Howard and Zach Brooks and even Cole Stout coming in at quarterback. So a lot of different guys there. Last time Clemson played Duke at home was 2008. Clemson won that one 31-7 in Death Valley. It was just the fourth game of Dabo Swinney's head coaching career. He was interim head coach. It was Swinney's first home win, 31-7 was the final score, thanks to a 14-point third quarter. Tigers only had 466 yards of offense that day. It's a slow day for them. 14th straight win at Memorial Stadium. That was a big day for C.J. Spiller. He had 201 all-purpose yards in that game. 10 carries for 71 yards rushing. He had 7 catches for 108 yards receiving on the day. Cullen Harper was the quarterback, and he was 20 for 26 for 292 yards and a touchdown. Willie Korn even played in that game. Came off the bench, 7 for 12 in completions as well. And Clemson's defense held Duke to 83 yards rushing and 85 yards receiving on that day. So those are your last two Clemson-Duke meetings. They haven't played a lot lately. Back in 2012 in Durham, 2008 at Death Valley and Clemson, and pretty easy wins for the Tigers in both of those. Clemson leads the overall series 36-16. There has been one tie in that series. Again, 28-point line in favor of the Tigers in that game coming up on Saturday at Death Valley. We did have some college football last night. It was Ohio over Buffalo. 52-17 was the final, and Miami of Ohio beat Northern Illinois 13-7, two Ohio games there. And then we have three games tonight. Toledo at Kent State, 6 o'clock. Tulane at Houston, that's the ESPN game tonight at 8 o'clock. And Florida Atlantic plays North Texas tonight at 9:30 in Denton, Texas. So those are your games on tap for tonight. Then tomorrow night, Friday night football, Boise State, number 25 in the country, plays at New Mexico. And Memphis will play at SMU tomorrow night, ESPN2, at 9 o'clock. 844-477-3776. Let's take a break. We'll be back just underway here in the Thursday huddle with Greg McKinney and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Get it done tonight, Aaron.
Relax, Greg.
Get her done tonight. Seahawks, Packers, Thursday night football. You can hear it here on ESPN Upstate tonight. 844-477-3776. And the huddle, let's go to Delvin up first on the line today. Hi, Delvin.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
That's what I was going to ask you. I said, what chance you get your Packers tonight in the House of Horrors for your Packers?
They have a chance.
It seems like crazy things always happen when y'all play Seattle. The Fail Marys.
Yeah.
And that onside kick.
Yeah, it's not their favorite place to go. I like the Packers because we have a running game now. That's new for us.
Yeah, y'all going to have a bigger running game next year when Le'Veon Bell comes in next year.
Thanks. I don't know if I want that. But Aaron Jones is doing a good job. I mean, I like the way he's running the football. I don't know. I will see if it lasts, but that gives them a dimension they haven't had in that offense.
Yeah, but that's why I was calling in for see what you think about your chance, man. You've been going for your Braves. I mean, you got manager of the year. I'm going to talk to you about that, manager of the year and rookie of the year.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, look, Snicker did a great job. I'm glad they extended him, and Cunha deserved it, right? I mean,
yeah. You think y'all gonna have a busy free agency this year?
When you say y'all, I'm really a Cardinals fan, Delvin, so I can't really accept your designation there. But will the Braves be busy? I mean, they need to do a couple things, but I wouldn't expect them to be the busiest team in Major League Baseball this year. But yeah, they need to get some help. Need a little help at catcher.
Yeah. Well, then, thanks for taking my call, because I just wanted to call
Thank you
back to see how you thought last night.
Appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate that. We're going to do our I've got it as part of our three questions. Prediction of tonight's Packers-Seahawks game in Seattle. So we'll save that. But, it's big because Green Bay's kind of on the bubble of falling out of the race there. Another loss or two, and, they might be too far to make it. Even as a wild card. So I think it's a big game for them. And I look forward to seeing what they can do. And I am cautiously optimistic about the Packers. Cautiously. Tomorrow could be a different story. 844-477-3776. High school football 5A playoffs coming up this weekend. Tomorrow we have Hannah hosting Northwestern over in Anderson. We have Dorman hosting Nation Ford. We have Rock Hill hosting Gaffney. How about that? Gaffney going down the road to Rock Hill. And Rock Hill taking over that area that was so dominated by Northwestern over the years. And the Burns Rebels will be going to Sumter to face the Gamecocks. That one you can hear here on ESPN Upstate, 7 o'clock airtime, and 7:30 kickoff from Sumter, South Carolina. I had a chance this morning to talk with the head coach of the Rebels, Reggie Shaw.
Coach, going back to your first round game against Westside, ended up playing on a Saturday. I guess less than ideal conditions, but I guess it could have been worse. But a big day for the Rebels. You guys really performed.
Yeah, real proud of our guys. You want to challenge them just to build momentum and try to chase perfection as you get into the playoffs. And felt like we're getting closer and closer. It was good to have some guys back. Jalen Miller provided a big spark for us on defense. And guys just came out and executed well. And, the conditions really didn't play much of a factor for us, which was good.
I thought Jalen looked good. I think he had the first hit of the game in that game last week. But what about his overall performance?
He'd be a four-year starter for us. So just his game experience, his leadership is second to none. But his physicality was pretty impressive as well. He set the tone on that first hit and rocked that quarterback and kind of created some excitement. So it's always good to see two back on the field.
You guys had to keep the pressure on, and it seemed like a really long game that took a while to play.
It was kind of odd. You don't typically play on a Saturday afternoon, and then I think Westside tried to slow the game down with predominantly running the ball, and the officials got pretty involved in the game as well, so it did take longer, but it ended well for us.
On the downside, you did have a couple of injuries. Lawrence Scott came out of the game, but I understand he's looking good this week.
Yeah, Lawrence is an old school player. If he can get back, we knew he would, and he's had two good days of practice after resting that knee, and it looks like his old self, so I'm excited to get him back in the fold.
But Brian Wright, your defensive lineman, your sack leader on the team, is not going to be back.
Yeah, big loss in Brian. Has an ankle injury that probably won't be back for the year. But just been a great force for us off the edge. But, we've got a depth of that D-line, so it's good that that's one spot that we got another guy that can come in and plug in. But Brian's had a great year for us, and just prayers and thoughts go out to that young man.
All right, Coach, let's talk about this Sumter Gamecock team. They come in at 10-0. I know you've watched film on them, so you see a reason for that.
Yeah, they're kind of scary. You look at them, they're kind of a combination of Dorman on offense. They run the ball really well, big offensive lineman. One's going to Wofford, the other one's going to App State, but really big and physical. Going to run the ball first, establish the run. Quarterback is adequate, big receivers. And so you have to defend the whole field. They do a lot of motions and various formations that really put stress on the defense. They just kind of 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and all of a sudden those running backs break free for big yardage. And so you really got to tackle well and attack your gaps well and be sound on defense. Offensively, we've got a challenge. They're very fast. They fly to the football. They've got size and height. And so, we're going to have to move the pocket around and be creative and try to play fast, I think, to counter what they do. Defensively, they're very aggressive, so hopefully we can do some things to challenge that.
I know they have a really good linebacker in Dante Coleman, had 13 tackles last week against Spring Valley. I'm sure you have your eyes on him.
Oh, no doubt. All of their linebackers are fast and move to the ball well, and they blitz them a lot. And so, their deal is was to disrupt you with their defense, and they've done that really well. I think the most points have been scored them all year is about 22 points. And so one of the best defenses we'll see all year.
Special teams, they're good at that too. Melvin Lundy averaging 20 yards a punt return, so got to be sound there.
Yeah, you don't want to kick it to number 11. He is he's lightning, and so you know, every time he touches a ball, something good happens for them. So we're going to try to keep it out of his hands, but yeah, he's electric when he touches it.
Coach, what about practice this week? You talked about Lawrence Scott practicing. It's been an awful week weather-wise. You guys be able to get some work done?
Yeah, we have. We've been real fortunate. We've had two windows the last 2 days. We've been able to get out and practice on Beach Springs. That's the best fields in our district. And so, you know, our heads up to our ground crew. Appreciate the work they've done to make things viable for us. But we've had two good days. And Monday night, you know, got in the gym a little bit and did some mental work. But it's that time of year.
As far as environment down there, I saw an article in the Sumter newspaper. They were kind of begging people to come out and worried about Burns having more fans than Sumter down there. But you guys travel well, and I know you want to give a little tip of the cap to your fans.
Oh, we do. You know, you go to Don Bosco, and there's hundreds of Rebel fans up there. So wherever we go, our folks get out and support us, and so we really appreciate that. But we need to pack the buses and the cars and head down to Sumter. This is a huge game for us, and you know, one more step closer to getting back to Williams-Brice.
That's Reggie Shaw. He's the head coach of the Burns Rebels, the undefeated Sumter Gamecocks against the 9-2 Burns Rebels coming up. Tomorrow night, you can hear here on ESPN Upstate. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock live from Sumter. As far as 4A Upper State playoffs are concerned, got some area teams still going there, including the Greer Yellow Jackets. They will host York tomorrow night. South Point is hosting Daniel, AC Flora hosting Wren, and it's Ridgeview hosting Westwood in the Upper State 4A playoffs. So a couple of schools in the area still alive. 3A, we have local schools playing there as well. Chapman and Camden tomorrow night. Union County, what a year the Yellow Jackets have had. And they get Indian Land tomorrow night. And that's a home game for Union County, so it's a big one for them. Southside, we talked to their coach earlier this week. We'll play Pendleton on the road. They have to play at Pendleton tomorrow night. And Chester will play host to Broome. And in the two-way playoffs, Southside Christian is still going. They'll take on 96. Beaufort hosting Saluda. It's North Central at Abbeville. And Central goes to Batesburg, Leesville. So a lot going on as we dive into the playoffs. We're tracking toward December 7th and 8th. The 1A and 2A championship games will be at Benedict College in Columbia, 3A, 4A, and 5A at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia. So good luck to all our area teams as we get into high school football's second round of the postseason coming up tomorrow night. 844-GSP, ESPN's our number, 844-477-3776. Here in the huddle, when we come back, hear a little bit from Mike Leach and Nick Saban. They're entertaining. And they were again this week ahead of their upcoming games. We'll hear from them next as we talk some college football in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. It's busy Thursday here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo with you till 4. You can get on the phone at 844-477-3776. Not the best of weekends for college football. A few big games probably highlighted by number 3 Notre Dame taking on Syracuse. A lot of kind of snoozer games, including Alabama and Citadel. Yes, Tua is going to play. That was addressed with Nick Saban this week. Should you just sit Tua? He's kind of banged up. You don't need him to beat the Citadel. Here's what Nick Saban said about that.
Just like when I got asked on Monday, like, we should not play Tua in this game. Well, if we didn't play Tua in this game, we'd be sending the message to every good player that we have that they shouldn't play in the game. So eventually, why should we even play? I don't just forfeit so nobody gets hurt, take a loss, just be done with it. Or is it an opportunity for everybody to improve and grow and, you know, challenge themselves to get better so that we go out and execute and play better as a team and build a little momentum through the week and the game, all right, so maybe we play better in the next game. So that's what I believe. And, you know, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. They have every right to work like I've worked for 40-some years as a coach and get a job and have their own team. And they can make any decision that they want. I tell the assistants that all the time. You want to do it that way? Get you a head job and you can do it that way. All right, but right now this is the way we're gonna do it. So if I tell them that, so is it the fans questioning or you? That would be my question.
That was awesome. And how many bosses have said to you, hey, if you don't like how I do it, you go, you know, do it yourself somewhere else.
Yeah, I can just picture him telling his assistants that every week. You don't like it? This is my team. Go.
I do have a solution to this question being asked, though.
What's that?
Schedule harder teams. Don't take gimmies. Then no one can ask, are you going to play this guy? If every game that's not a conference game, although most of the conference games are pretty hard, so, I mean, schedule some tougher opponents, then they'll never ask you the question again.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Now, he said, you know, maybe we should just forfeit. Just forfeit the Citadel game. Why is somebody asking him, hey, would you maybe consider resting Tua in this game, lead to that nonsense? Nah, maybe we should just forfeit
Citadel game. I also like the fact that he's basically saying the quarterback is not above any other player, and he may actually believe that.
He's not above any other player, but he's hurt. He's banged up.
You think that
how much is he going to play?
If he was that bad, do you think Saban would really play him?
I think the biggest storyline going forward toward the postseason is the health of Tua Tagovailoa. What's a bigger storyline right now?
Play him a couple series and then sit him down.
He won't play much.
He'll go out and score 21 points, and they'll say, that's enough. Okay, sit down.
Get him out, man. Don't let him get banged up. I mean, Jalen Hurts is not healthy either. So, you know. Rest your quarterbacks. That's what any reasonable person would do, but Nick makes it into, maybe we just forfeit the Citadel game. Maybe we should do that. I like Mike Leach better, Washington State. They play Arizona, so that's a little bit more of a game. Arizona's like 5-5. So they play in Pullman late Saturday night. But it doesn't matter how big the game is for Washington State. Mike Leach will give you some gems. So I don't know exactly how the question came up. And you can explain the term Royal Rumble to me, Lonzo. This is basically a wrestling extravaganza where you get a whole bunch of stars in there and they go at it.
Yeah, it's a battle royale, and the Royal Rumble is a big deal in the WWE. So what you do is you put like 30 guys or women into the ring, and the object is to throw the other opponents over the top rope.
Okay.
And then, you know, of course, there will be only one left in the ring, and that's the winner.
Right. So I take it that the question was asked somehow, some way, to Mike Leach. What if you had a Royal Rumble involving all the coaches in the Pac-12? Put them all in the ring, see who comes out. And here's what Mike Leach said to that.
Well, based on their players, Kyle would be. I mean, those guys hit you as hard as anybody in the conference. Plus, he's in good shape. Okay, so let's see. We got Kevin. Oh, then Herm Edwards is in great shape. Let me think, am I missing anybody? And I don't really care if they get ticked off. Because actually, privately, I think I would, but we're going to be more modest than that. I'm going to say Kyle or Herm, for sure. Kyle or Herm.
And why is that?
Well, they're both in shape. For what? I mean, simple. This age, if you're in shape, you got a chance. They're both in great shape. You know, you look, I mean, they're both in shape. They both exercise.
What about, like, size? Like, a guy like Mario Cristobal at Oregon.
Well, you don't want to get tied up with him. You don't want to let him get his hands on you because he is big and he's got long levers. You don't want him to get those things on you. He would be dangerous, though. There's no question. Formidable for sure.
Not to get you in trouble, but which coach would you least fear?
No, I can't say that. No. We already went down that whole way too far. All right.
come on. Answer it, coach. Which coach would you least fear in the Pac-12?
He was sharing so much, man. Yeah. I wish he would say, it's that guy right there, he's over the top.
Yeah, we were by him.
I love that he's willing to answer this question and take it serious and have fun with it, because that's all it is having fun with it.
Yeah.
He's right, though. Herm Edwards is in really good shape. By the way, there's a strange smell in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Is that heat? I believe it might be heat, and I'm trying not to get my hope up that I might actually be able to take my coat off. But it smells like heat.
Or
the building's actually on fire, one or the other.
Maybe November 15th when it's 42 degrees is heat day here at the Radio Ranch. Maybe. It might be your lucky day. Big day here for us in the chilly ESPN Upstate studio. As in our last break of the hour, we'll come back and wrap up hour number one of The Huddle next on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The Huddle ESPN Upstate, Greg McKinney, and Lonzo. So the headline running across the screen on TV right now on ESPN. How worried are you about Tom Brady? Is it over for Tom Brady?
Why would I be worried? I've never been worried about Tom Brady.
Well, the theory is he's finally becoming human and the end is in sight. 17 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 4 fumbles by Brady this year. Completion rate, what, 65%? Nothing wrong with that.
And just because they're showing him stumbling around like an old man, you know, he is kind of old. But
well, you know, when Peyton Manning hit the wall, he hit the wall hard.
Oh, that was a major wall.
Yeah. Is that going to happen to Brady?
Still managed to squeeze a Super Bowl out of it, though.
Yeah. It's sooner rather than later. Brady's not playing another 4 years, is he? Talking another couple years.
You know, I could be mean here and say, man, I hope he declines quick. But, I don't want to see that in anybody. Hopefully he can play out the rest of the season and make a decision, look at his own self and say, you know, I am declining. I think I'm done. You don't want to see him play to the point where, like you just mentioned, as bad as Peyton Manning was.
Yeah,
you don't want to see that.
But I don't see him quitting after this year. Not yet, unless it gets really bad. I still see him coming back playing another year. But, yeah, I mean, you can see a difference. I mean, we're halfway through the season. Maybe he has a great second half and people stop talking about this. Maybe. But if not, that's going to be a big off-season topic. What's up with Tom Brady? How long has he got? We'll have to talk about it the entire offseason. You know, we talked yesterday on the air about Le'Veon Bell's locker after it was raided by teammates for the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was left was packed up and placed in the back of team headquarters. Bell, of course, forfeiting the season and $14.5 million when he failed to report the team by the franchise tag deadline to play this year, which was Tuesday. Maurice Pouncey, the center and team captain, said Bell's items will likely be shipped directly to him. He said that's customary for roster turnover. Bell's locker went untouched for 2 months, over 2 months. And as soon as that deadline passed, it was just...
You think they were gathered around the locker watching the clock? It's like, okay, yeah. It's 3:59.
Yeah, it was a day later. They gave it a day. They gave it 24 hours. But it's now completely empty. Players took out cleats, shirts, even mixtape CDs.
There we go. Because who doesn't need some of that?
They took his mixtape CDs.
He must have had some really good ones for people to scavenge for him.
One of the players, cornerback Mike Hilton, said it might have been therapeutic for the other players to do this. He said everybody was tired of talking about it, wondering whether he was going to show up or not. You'd see the locker and think, okay, maybe he's going to show up. Now we know he's not. Now it's all understood. Everybody can get past it. Hilton got a pair of Jordan cleats. That's why he feels pretty good about it. He said lockers are typically full of free football apparel that he probably wouldn't have needed. Probably. Maybe. Probably wouldn't need that anyway. That's that justification that thieves use. He didn't really need that. You have two of those.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone now. He ain't coming back here.
Yeah. So, they're not yours, but you can take them because he didn't need them. In a video published by ESPN, linebacker Bud Dupree held up two pairs of Bell's Jordan cleats. Said into the camera, appreciate the cleats, my guy. Wish you success, my guy. I'm stealing your stuff, my guy. Okay, he didn't say that.
So what we talked about yesterday, would you wear someone else's cleats? It sounds like they're going to wear these cleats. No. You're a millionaire. But and they provide that stuff. I just don't get it.
Yeah. They were upset when he didn't show up week one. Then they sort of tried to forget about it. James Conner came in, played well. He's one of the league leaders in rushing yards and touchdowns. Guard David DeCastro appreciates Bell's greatness as a Steeler. Of course, Bell averaged almost 129 yards a game over 5 seasons. And hopes he scores a massive contract in free agency. DeCastro said it's a team sport. It's a business. It's tough. You can see both sides. No one's really wrong or right. I wish Le'Veon all the best. Hope he gets all the money he can so he can buy his own cleats. Because we just took his. 844-477-3776. Let's go to the phones and talk to Chip next in the huddle. Chip, welcome in. What's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this afternoon?
We're good.
Hey, I loved hearing the snidbit from the presser for Nick Saban. I just wanted to ask, is angry Nick Saban not your favorite Nick Saban when it comes to that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I play it every time. Every time he gets mad, I have to play it. I just do. It's my rule.
Yeah, I love when you watch it, how well even the audio is of him slamming his hands down on that podium, because he seems to do that a lot. He just hits that podium. But, no, I love that. And obviously, you know, he's got to be correct. Even from a fan standpoint, you've got to play your best players, you know, or you send a message to your team that, you know, take a week off. And although they'll beat Citadel by, you know, 100, but you've got to play them. So just wanted to get y'all's comments. If angry Nick Saban's your favorite Nick Saban. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call there, Chip. Yeah, I agree that you don't sit him for the whole game. But, man, I would be sitting him early.
And see, there are different degrees of angry when it comes to coaches, but Saban is a calm anger. It's a stern anger,
yeah.
And it's usually hilarious.
Trying to make you feel stupid. Like he did at the end of that when he said, are people asking that or are you asking that to the reporter? I think it's just you asking.
Did you cut off the reply or was there?
No, that was it. That was all I had.
So dude was like, nope, I'm done.
He's probably cowering under a chair in the back of the room. Yeah, but yeah, this is a noon kickoff in Tuscaloosa, and I mean, maybe they play Tua for a half, maybe. I wouldn't go much more than that. I mean, you just, you know, got to be smart, and this is that opportunity for, I mean, they got Auburn coming up, and then they got Georgia coming up, and then who knows what they have coming up after that in the playoffs. So I would definitely be cautious with my quarterback in this game. But everybody can do that just about in the SEC. I mean, Florida, of course, not going to make the playoff, but they've got Idaho this week. Kentucky, they were in the mix for a while. Now they're number 17. They get Middle Tennessee this week. Mississippi State's number 21. They get Arkansas this week. You can throw Arkansas in with Idaho and Middle Tennessee right now, can't you? There's no difference.
Sad to say, but yes, you can.
There's no difference. Tennessee and Missouri play at 3:30. There you go, CBS. There's your afternoon marquee game, Tennessee and Missouri. Georgia gets UMass, 4 o'clock game. Auburn gets Liberty, 4 o'clock game. Texas A&M gets UAB. UAB, pretty good. How's UAB doing? They killed the program and then brought it back, and they're 9-1. Their only loss, Coastal? Good grief. They lost to Coastal in game 2. That's their only loss of the year for UAB. What a year they've had. That's awesome. So, you know, can UAB make a little noise against Texas A&M? Probably not, but we'll see. LSU plays Rice. Rice will be the snack for LSU. Tiger Stadium night game on ESPNU. Ole Miss gets Vanderbilt. And, of course, Chattanooga at South Carolina, 7:30 game. At the Willie B. at Williams-Brice Stadium. So this is that week in the SEC. They seem to do it every year this week. Before rivalry weekend, they do this. All right, 844-477-3776. Got a busy hour coming up. We'll talk to Bob Costello with the Greenville News about the high school playoff matchups tomorrow night when we come back from the top of the hour break. Going to hear from Zion Williamson. He had another big night last night for the Duke Blue Devils. We will talk to the new football coach of the newly reestablished program at Erskine coming up around 2:30. And we got to do our 10 college football picks. We'll get Richmond on the phone and do that before the hour is over. So all that coming up in hour 2 of the Huddle next on ESPN Upstate for this Thursday. G-Mac and Lonzo here. Stay with us. We'll be right back.